chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we'll begin our reading tonight in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Tonight's message is entitled, Christ's Love and Friendship Manifested. Jesus informs the disciples that the same love that the Father has for his only begotten Son, Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is the same kind of love that he has for his disciples. It means that the love that the Father has for Jesus compares to the love that Jesus has for his disciples. Now, that's pretty miraculous. We're talking about an unconditional, immutable, holy, righteous love that is as eternal as the Godhead. That's the kind of love the Father has for his only begotten Son. And in turn, that's the love that Jesus Christ has for his elect. The love that the Father has for his Son is not motivated by pity or even compassion, but rather it is an inseparable and everlasting delight in the person of his Son. The Father delights in loving his Son. That's the kind of love that goes far beyond our finite human understanding. To actually be loved by the Savior because he delights in us and cherishes our fellowship as his followers, that is remarkable indeed. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves his people with an endearing, delightful, rejoicing love. I believe the Lord Jesus is enthused about loving us. So much so, he was willing to give everything, body, soul, and spirit, to die in our stead. And he tells us that later on in the text, greater love hath no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, Jesus prayed about the everlasting love and the glory that the Father had given Him and that He in turn wanted to share with His people. He says in John 17, 22, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me." Listen to this. "And hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." Christ loves us so much that He wants to reveal all the excellency, the glory, the power, the majesty of the Godhead to us who are in union with Him, in this everlasting love union. It humbles my heart to think that the Lord loves me as an individual, that He delights and rejoices in loving me. So much so, He was willing to rescue me from the degradation of my own depravity, the wickedness of my sins, and ultimately the punishment of the lake of fire. This love that Jesus has manifested to us is something you can't calculate. You can't add it up. You can't multiply it. You can't even begin to comprehend the infinity of this kind of eternal, endearing, glorious love. He said, "The same love the Father has for Me, I have for you." If we'll... You see, and then He exhorts His disciples to remain and abide under the sweet smile and the influence of His love on a daily basis. When was the last time you did that? You just thought deeply about the love, the everlasting, immutable, glorious, majestic, all-powerful love that the sacrificial love that the Savior has for you as an individual. We need to learn to think deeply and draw deeply from this well of the Savior's everlasting love. Learn to feast upon the bounty of His immeasurable love in order to nourish your soul and to strengthen your heart for service. If you're overwhelmed with the love of Christ, you will find no commandment too hard. He says, "Continue ye in My love." What an easy command that should be for us. To abide in His love, continue in His love, be mindful of His love every moment of every day. He's redeemed me. He's forgiven me. I'm going to spend eternity with the lover of my soul, the One who is altogether lovely. How it ought to thrill our hearts and fill us with joy divine. He loves us with this kind of love. Verse 10. "If you keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." Jesus informs the disciples that the best way in which we can abide in the Savior's love and experience its quickening power is to be found keeping the commandments of Christ. That's something about real love. It actually produces something. Real love is not only unconditional and sacrificial on the part of our Savior, but it actually produces fruit. If you are loved by the Savior, you're going to rejoice and delight in Him in such a way that you're going to want to obey Him. You're going to want to walk in obedience. You see, obedience is the true test of our love for the Savior. And as our comprehension of His love for us grows, our love for Him will grow and will be manifested by greater degrees of obedience to His commands. Obedient children are more apt to appreciate and experience a parent's love when their hearts are free from guilt. You ever thought about that? You know what? So it is with the experience with the children of God. The more that we abide in the commands of the Savior, the greater will be our apprehension of His love for us. I really believe that obedience to God brings greater light and greater opportunity for fellowship and communion in His presence. The closer that we draw to Him in obedience, the fuller will be our experience of His love. When we keep the commands of the Savior and abide in His love, we're actually following the holy example that He set for us, which means we are becoming more like Him. Think about it. The one that we profess to follow, He always did those things which pleased the Father. We're commanded as His children, as those who know Him, to walk even as He walked. He walked in unswerving obedience to the Father's will. Every moment, every day, every hour. And if He obeyed the Father's commands without reservation, consistently desiring to please and honor His Father. And if we're to abide in Christ's love as He abode in the Father's love, then the commandments of Christ must be a source of great delight for us. It ought to be something that we are so glad to do. His commandments ought not be grievous for the one who's been born of the Spirit, for the one who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, for the one who is on his way to glory. Our hearts should be joyfully set on keeping the commandments of our Lord. You say, well, what are the commandments? Get in the book. Read. Do you want to know what the commandments are? Read the Bible. Read the Word of God. There's some right off the top of my head. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Regard the Word of God as more valuable than your bread, your physical bread. Follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Other commands, study to show thyself approved unto God. Another one, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Watch and pray. You want me to go on? We're going to be here the rest of the week. These are all commandments found in the Word of God that we ought to be mindful of and rejoice in. You see, obedience to the commands of Christ should be our number one priority if we are to experience the fullness of what it means to abide in His love. I like what John MacArthur said. Obedience is not the means of salvation, but it is the inevitable result. It is the proof that a person has a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The branches that abide in Christ, the true vine, will inevitably bear fruit. His sheep hear His voice and follow Him. True disciples obey His word. John 8:31. Good works save no one, but a faith devoid of good works is dead and cannot save. You know, I always am leery of anyone who goes to far extremes on anything. Arminianism, hard-shellism, legalism, antinomianism, it's all a bunch of stinky-isms. And I really believe it would do us well to serve the Lord because we love Him and obey Him and delight in Him. I want to keep His commandments because that's the example He set for us. And I want to follow in His steps. Now notice, in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, isn't that something to aim for? To be absolutely filled up with the joy of the Lord. To be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." When we as Christ's disciples are abiding in His love, obeying His commands, He says that His joy becomes ours. It's like this union with Him produces a transferable joy. The more that we bask in the light of His glory, the more that we walk in His ways and follow His example, the more of His joy transfers to us. And our joy is found overflowing as we walk in His steps. The key to experiencing this, the joy of Christ in our hearts, is simply to obey His word, to bask in His presence, to delight in Him. And this is why Jesus had spoken so much upon the subjects of love and spiritual communion and fruitfulness and obedience. If the joy of Christ is to remain in us and be experienced by us on a day-to-day basis, then these graces must be in operation. Love, communion, fellowship, obedience. Now, all you have to do is look at your own spiritual history and experience. When fellowship with the Lord Jesus and obedience to His commands are lacking in our lives, what happens? You'll soon find your joy dissipating. Perhaps even disappearing. You get out of sorts with the Lord, and His chastening hand comes down upon you, and you're filled with despair and discouragement, and you're out of sorts, and you're not fellowshipping. You're weighed down with guilt. You don't even feel like you can approach His throne of grace. I've felt that way. I know what it is to have sin in my heart that blocks the blessings of God. David is a prime example. You know the story. When he got out of fellowship with God, his joy vanished. Read Psalm 51. What's the essence of that psalm? What's one of the key verses of that psalm? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He had got out of fellowship with God. Now, he wasn't out of the relationship with God. He was in union with Christ. He would never be severed from the love of God, but he was severed from the power of God's presence and the joy experienced in fellowship and communion. And that'll happen when you let sin. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, thou wilt not hear me. You want to become ineffective in prayer? Keep a bunch of sin stored up in your heart. And I've always thought, what a stupid thing on our part. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. People may not know the depths of your heart, what you're thinking right now, or any given day, but guarantee you this, the eyes of whom we have to do, everything's naked and open before Him. So why not just come clean? Why not just come before the Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, what make me to see what's stealing my joy. Because I tell you what, you can get mean and surly and bitter and have a rotten attitude. And it'll affect you, it'll affect your family, it'll affect your church, it'll affect where you work. You can all trace it back to you're out of fellowship with God. If you're a child of God, you will not be happy if you're walking in a different direction than the leadership of the Spirit and the way of Christ. David's joy was restored through repentance and confession of sin. Don't you want to be filled up with His love? Filled, you know what it means to have fullness of joy? That means you can't put no more in. When something's full, it's so full. You know what I'm saying, Liam? I mean, it's all full. You can't put no more in. And I've often thought how much happier we would be if we would be overwhelmed every day with the love and the presence and the power of our great Savior. Oh, that God would give us such a heart, such a mind, that it would be our joy to think about Him every day, about what He's done, about how He has delivered us out of that miry pit and set our feet upon a rock, established our goings, and put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. May God grant us the grace to experience the fullness of joy that comes through obedience, communion, and intimate fellowship with Jesus. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Listen now. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." I pray that this week, these verses will ring true in your life, and that this joy, a joy and a peace and a love that you can't find anywhere on this earth, this is extraordinary, supernatural love and joy that comes through from Jesus Christ, that it'll fill you up. And see whether or not your attitude is so much better every day. Your outlook. If His love fills you up and His joy is transferred to you, and you experience this fullness of joy. We'll finish this up next week, God willing.